for the sermon, Mr. Ellis LaRavia.
Thank you, Mr. Bishona. We know that one of the major missions of the church is to preach the gospel message of the coming kingdom of God to a very needy, sick world. We even have seminars underway that are planned around this world, preaching the gospel message. And while we've been called to salvation and are being prepared to serve all the remainder of the children of God, which is probably untold billions of people since the creation of Adam and Eve, but God's purpose and teaching from the very beginning in Genesis 1 is for the human creation to be in His very image, to be in His likeness, to become like God in every way, to become the sons and daughters of God, and this shall occur for the most of the billions of people in the kingdom of God. We can see its importance and significance to both God and Christ. And all that God has done, is doing, and shall do is focused for this fulfillment and the establishment of the kingdom of God on this earth. The God of the Old Testament, who taught Israel the law of God, Himself and through Moses, and then the prophets, and He reinforced all that He was requiring of Israel, and of course, ultimately, the whole of mankind. But the law and the prophets, and Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And as Christ spoke to the Pharisees, in verse 15, and He said to them, "You are they which justify yourselves before men." You justify yourselves before men. You're only concerned about your appearance and what men feel about you. But God knows your hearts, so that for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Because they were arrogant, they were self-seeking, they were selfish, they only concerned about themselves, they took advantage of others. In verse 16, though, He says, "The law and the prophets were until John," that is, John the Baptist or John the Immerser. "And since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone presses into it." Well, you would that that were so. At least it's the possibility for people to press into it. "And it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." Christ let them know in no uncertain terms that law, the commandments, the law of Moses, all the words they were supposed to be living by, not one word would fail. But then Christ was sent by God our Father to be born in this flesh, to live godly, train disciples, and then give His life so that the grand and magnificent purpose could be fulfilled in the lives of every human being. Every human being. This is what the preaching of the kingdom of God is all about. And it is this gospel message that has been preached prior to but carried forward since Pentecost in 31 AD. Now, after Christ's resurrection, while the disciples looked for the rulership to be restored to Israel, that was their thinking, that was human thinking. They wanted the kingdom to be restored to Israel. Christ told them that they had a job to do. They had a job to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but it says, "You shall receive power on Pentecost. Just a short time from that time then. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria or northern Israel, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Christ even reminded the disciples later, even as he reminds us, that we have a commission to fulfill. In Matthew chapter 28, in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 16, Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, unto a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Well, we could read that in John chapter 20. Thomas doubted, but they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, preach the gospel message, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, really the end of this age. So we see the prevailing message of the kingdom of God is uppermost in Christ's mind and in the mind of our Heavenly Father. This has been the history of what God has done in seeing to the preaching of the kingdom of God. Christ did it when he was here on this earth. He did it when he was the God of the Old Testament. And it's what is uppermost in the minds of both God and Christ. God has done it in so many ways and through so many people, and even in an entire nation. You know, even Job, who was a very wealthy man, God allowed Satan to take everything, from him, to be tormented nearly unto death, to teach him about the kingdom of God, the true purpose of life, because Job had his own righteousness based on the law of God, and he was righteous, blameless under the law. But as with all people, he had to learn that the righteousness of God is what he had to achieve. The righteousness and the love that comes through the very mind and the spirit of God. Now, after Job had been tormented by Satan and his friends, Job defended his righteousness. He defended his righteousness continually. But he was looking for the resurrection, which has to do with the kingdom of God. In Job chapter 14, he looked to this early on when he was defending his own righteousness. But he looked to it even more once Christ taught him, once the God of the Old Testament taught him the true purpose of life and how to fulfill it. Job chapter 14, verse 12. He said, so man lies down and rises not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be missed out of their sleep. I'm sorry, be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath be past. Again, a human desire. That you would appoint me a set time and remember me. Verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? Or if a person die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Because he looked toward the resurrection. And then he says, you shall call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. And the work of God's hands is to resurrect the saints and then to ultimately resurrect all people and teach them his way of life. Now, Job had been very angry with his friends who condemned him, thinking that Job had sinned and sinned mightily to be experiencing all the problems with the loss of everything and himself suffering so great a torment. But as God taught him, as he began to see the realities of this human life and the true realities of the kingdom of God, he prayed for his friends. He prayed for his friends. Job wasn't able to do that on his own. That came by the power of God's Spirit in Job's conversion process. Job saw the true righteousness of God, and the kingdom of God then was preached to Job. We see the preaching of Jonah to the great city of Nineveh. God called upon Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was a very large city, a dominant city of that age. And Jonah was to preach a message that would have to do with the future of the kingdom of God. He was to cry against the city, for its sins were very great. We find in Genesis chapter 10, verse 11, I won't turn there, but Genesis chapter 10, verse 11, it was one of the early cities that was built during the time of the building of the Tower of Babel. It was where Asher lived, who was the progenitor of the nation of Assyria. But Jonah ran away. He didn't want to do it. He didn't feel comfortable doing it. He didn't like the Ninevites. He was on a ship when it was determined that he was causing the great storm that was destroying the ship and was going to cause it to sink. So they cast him overboard, where God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. But finally, Jonah got the message. You know, after 3 days and three nights in the acid and slime of this fish, he got the message. And then the fish vomited him up on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. Then God came to him the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, and preach the message I give to you." Wasn't any argument this time. He didn't want anything like that again, or he didn't want anything similar to that. Now Jonah was convinced, and he did what God instructed. Much to Jonah's dismay, though, the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God, and they fasted in sackcloth and ashes. And God repented of his destruction of that great city. But Jonah wasn't happy about that. All he could tell God was, "I told you before I ever left my land, my country, that's what was going to happen. You were going to have mercy on them and you weren't going to destroy them." But God had a purpose that Jonah did not see nor internalize as God did. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Well, because it's when Christ came in the flesh, he taught and he said in verse 41, Matthew 12, "The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment," because they made a statement. When they heard the word of God, when they heard the preaching of Jonah, they turned. They turned. Now, does that mean they were ready to change and be converted? No, but they turned and they fasted. But said the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because this generation had God himself teaching them, instructing them in what they should be doing. And they had rejected him. They didn't listen to Christ. But Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. It was Christ. It was God of the Old Testament in the flesh, the Son of God. Yet a greater than Jonah was there among the Jews, But they didn't repent. They didn't repent. But God had a purpose in having Jonah do what he finally did, even though he did it with great reluctance. We know God called an entire nation, the nation of Israel, taught them his laws, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his ordinances. The nation was to be a nation who obeyed God and served God and would be a model nation for the rest of the world. They were to be a model nation. Instead, the nation wanted to be like the nations around them, with a king who would oppress and rule over them, a king who would not be like God, because God was able to bless them with blessings that they couldn't even imagine. Every blessing in the city and in the country, and in every family and every person's lives, God would bless them. God could help them. Israel never received all of the blessings that God had in store because Israel went astray, just like the rest of the world. But it would achieve the preaching of the kingdom of God, in which God shall ultimately bless all of Israel with a new covenant in the kingdom of God. Now, God has given testimonies concerning the kingdom of God to other peoples. Some we are aware of, and some we are not. One such nation was China. One such nation was China in the 19th century. Dr. Herman Hay cataloged and researched the preaching of the gospel through one man in a 1955 Good News article. Have any of you ever seen that article? Probably most of you were not around then. But it was in a 1955 Good News article. It's the story of a large group of Sabbath keepers in China. Probably the largest group of Sabbath keepers in all of history, numbering about 50 million people in the 1800s. Now, that's a small number. I don't know what the population was then, but now if it's, you know, 7 1/4 or 300 million people, that would be somewhere around 2.5% of the people became Sabbath keepers. This dramatic story commences in 1813. It begins at a small village near Canton, China. The city has since been renamed. But the chief person in the drama is Hong Sui Shan. He came from a royal family who had fled to South China as a result of the Manchu invasion, the invasion of the Mongolian hordes from the north. They took over most of China. Hong was 16. He was 16 at the time. And he had become proficient in the usual course of Chinese education. And he was probably educated more than most because he was a member of a royal family. Later, he was given a set of books translated into English. The title was Good Words for Exhorting the Age. Good Words for Exhorting the Age. At the time, the book seemed of little value to Hong. He was a teacher, but in 1837, he lost advancement of his scholastic rank because his Manchu superiors were jealous of him and his abilities, his talent. They were afraid of him. They didn't want him around and were fearful of his ancestral background. This loss so upset Hong that he became quite ill. He became quite ill. And these Mongolian warlords who seized China later become the communist overlords who ruled China just prior to World War II. They became the communist overlords. During Hong's recuperation, he had an extraordinary vision or dream. In the vision, Hong was seemingly transported to the presence of a great sovereign ruler. There he was confronted by a woman who stated, "You dirty man, why have you kept company with yonder people and defiled yourself?" He was then in vision taken to a river and washed in the water. After this, he was conducted into a large building where he received a new heart and inward parts. He was astonished at the vision, but could not determine its meaning. As he began to regain his health, he began to change his conduct, though. He began to change his conduct, the way he lived, as best he knew, as best he understood. He continued as a village schoolmaster for several years, giving his vision no further thought. He didn't think about it anymore. Then one day, his cousin Lay found this book, Good Words for Exhorting the Age. In them were a number of whole chapters of the Bible. In this book were a number of whole chapters of the Bible. He told his cousin Hung what he had found, and Hung was amazed to find in the quoted chapters from the Bible there was a partial explanation of the vision and the dream that he had. He'd had that dream or vision 6 years earlier. The scripture which he possessed, he found the Heavenly Father described. Then he read of Jesus, the elder brother of many brethren. And of course, in our Bibles, it's rendered as the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren from Romans chapter 8. He learned that Jesus was sent a Savior and a messenger of the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 17. As Christ there at the beginning of his ministry, Luke chapter 4, verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord, verse 18, is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the gospel message of the kingdom of God to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives," those who had been taken captive in this world by Satan, "and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised," those who are oppressed, "and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." This young Chinese person, Hung, also read that one needs to repent. He read in these books of the Bible, or the chapters of the Bible that were in this book, that people were to repent, and that we were to be baptized to obtain the Holy Spirit. As we know from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But from these verses, he understood the meaning of being washed in water or baptized and of having his heart and inward parts renewed. Hung and his cousin Lee then baptized one another. They didn't know what else to do, so they baptized one another. And they prayed to God and promised not to worship evil spirits, and they cast away all their idols, because China's full of idols, always has been. And Hung, being a literary person, he composed poetic verses to explain his conversion to his friends, much like David in the Psalms. After destroying his idols in the little school where he taught, he and a few of his friends were forced to flee into the interior of China. He preached what little he knew as he journeyed into the south central provinces of China. He taught what he knew. In 1846, he journeyed to Canton after hearing about a Christian missionary who resided there. He studied there under the missionary for a month, and read new portions of the Bible. But some of the young missionaries also studying there became jealous of Hung and his talents and his earnestness, his determination to learn God's way of life, even more than any of them. When Hung returned to South China, he found the villagers there listened to him. They listened to him. He was a teacher, and they listened to him because he was learning things that he had never known. And they listened to him. And those baptized soon numbered 2,000. Then they formed congregations and called themselves the Congregations of the Worshippers of God. He continued studying the Bible and what he had available, convinced him that they should refrain from smoking tobacco or opium. He concluded that, but the British were selling opium to the Chinese people. And he also learned that the Sabbath day should be observed as the seventh day. He further noticed that Jesus did not rise on Sunday morning, but 3 days and three nights after his death, he was resurrected on Saturday evening before the beginning of Sunday, the first day of the week. Now, the Jesuits of the Catholic Church brought the Roman calendar, which he adopted. He didn't have any other calendar. So they brought the Roman calendar, which he adopted. But the problem is, he couldn't figure out when the annual holy days were. He saw the need to observe them, but he couldn't figure out when the annual holy days were. But we see his earnestness and the many who followed him, the teaching of the Bible, though they lacked large portions of God's truth. How thankful we should be to have the entire Word of God in many versions, many translations. How fortunate we are. He didn't have that benefit. But most of those whom Hung baptized could not even read. They couldn't even read. And they had to be taught orally. He had to teach them orally whatever they learned. But he followed the rules of marriage as found in the law of Moses. He didn't have much of the New Testament. They put aside the custom of polygamy. Not all of those people were converts, though. But those who were, they knelt down and they prayed that God would forgive their sins. They understood that they needed to kneel down and ask God to forgive their sins. They ceased to bind women's feet, which was a practice in that culture. I know Gwen and I saw some of those women who were quite elderly when we saw them, but they had tiny little feet that they couldn't even walk on. They couldn't even walk on those feet because they were not enough to support them. But they stopped that practice because they couldn't even walk. They said grace at the meals and kept the Sabbath day holy and sought to keep all of God's commandments. Amazing. They were not completely aware of the instructions in the New Testament, but they sought to be guided by the law of Moses. They followed what we know as instructions that the Apostle Peter gave to the scattered Israelites in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 2. First Peter chapter 4, verse 2. Well, let's begin in verse 1. First Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And that's what Hung and his followers were trying to do. Live according to the will of God. He said, for the pastime of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And certainly China was Gentile or a non-Israelite. And they had participated in all the sins of their nation. And when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, and notice it says excess of wine, not wine itself, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them. And the people, the other people that did not abide by what Hung taught them, they thought it strange that they were doing what they were doing. Certainly the Mongolians, the Manchu who invaded the nation, thought it was strange. That you run not to them the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Verse 6, for this reason was the gospel preached also to them. The gospel was preached to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Now, it wasn't preached to them while they were dead, but for the benefit of the dead, and of course for all peoples. For the gospel message of the kingdom of God is for the living. You know, those who have died, and for not only Israel, but the entirety of this world, all nations, all peoples. As other people heard of the Sabbath keepers, there were other people. Because in China, as in most nations, the Mongolians, the Manchus, were persecuting them. They were oppressing them. They abused them. So those who heard the gospel message of the kingdom of God, they sought the protection. They sought the protection of Hung and those who were keeping the laws of God. The families of the afflicted and the destitute came along even without laws, even with criminals who sought their protection, who fled the power of the Manchu dynasty. They flocked to Hung and his followers, even as many did in the time of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, 1 Samuel chapter 22, as David was chased all over Judea, all over the countryside, by the king, by King Saul, there were others identified with him because they were persecuted. They were persecuted. Anybody that had anything to do with David, he also would have slain. And in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. And verse 2, and everyone that was in distress, just like these people did in China, gathering themselves to those Sabbath keepers, everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto David. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men who were trying to escape the wrath of Saul. There were many Chinese malcontents, like those of David. They weren't converted, but they were willing to do as Hung instructed because of the oppression of the overlords. They were willing to follow it. They developed what they understood as a government theocracy because of seeking to obey God. The new dynasty was entitled Taiping, meaning the kingdom of our sovereign. Taiping, the kingdom of our sovereign, the one who created heaven and earth. Several thousands became faithful converts, and upwards of 50 million were living in prosperity and peace under the Taiping administration, who were following God's laws as they understood them. While the British and American missionaries had barely 1,500 converts in the whole of China, and they had been working on it for years. They only had 1,500. Because they were so jealous that so many were turning to the truth without their teachings. Without their teachings. I know currently we have a nephew and his wife and child who was even born in China who are there as missionaries. I don't see him very often, but next time I see him, I'd like to talk about his experiences there. But this was the era of the Opium Wars, in which Britain was trying to control China with forcing them to buy and use opium. Israel, Ephraim, was forcing China to buy and to use opium so they could control that very vast country. The British and other foreign elements forced the Manchus then to sign treaties legalizing the opium trade. The British government assured the Taiping dynasty, however, that they would remain neutral. But in reality, they supplied arms to the Manchus with ships flying the American flag. How tragic for Ephraim and Manasseh, for Israel to be contributing to that demise. During all this time, the converts of Hung were publishing the Bible as best they could. They sought missionaries to come and instruct them. Most of the missionaries from Britain and America refused. Israel was refusing to preach the gospel message of the kingdom of God to the Chinese. The British marshaled the Manchus against the Taipings and gradually brought about their retreat and their downfall. They destroyed the church that was started there by God in China. In the end, Hung and these Chinese converts perished because of their faith. They perished because of their faith. And the fate of these Sabbath keepers reminds us of the Apostle Paul's exhortation in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And the Apostle Paul, as he's enumerating so many of those who have been faithful, he says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, of Samson and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and all the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises that God had made, and they stopped the mouths of lions." Verse 34, "They quenched the violence of fire. escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. I said, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect or complete. Those in the Taiping Rebellion were accused of committing acts of which only their enemies were guilty, just like what we read there in Hebrews 11. They were accused of committing acts of violence and hatred and working against the Manchus, the Mongolians. I think how much we need to appreciate having the entirety of the Bible and the understanding of most of it and still relative peace at this time. But God shall remember those people in China because God opened the door for them. He opened the door for them and brought to a few the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. But this drama in China was occurring in far-off China when God's people in America were splitting up as the dying branches of the Sardis church era. The Sardis church era was dying in America. The members of the Sardis church which God had chosen, but they refused to restore the truth that was revealed to them. As God states about the Sardis church in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. This was at the same time that God was allowing these people in China to obey and serve him to the fullest degree of their understanding of what they could mine from the Bible that they had. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, as God wrote, and John wrote down, but as God and Christ brought this testimony, and John, the Apostle John, wrote it down, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name and you live, and yet you're dead spiritually. Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard. You've heard the truth of God. You've tasted the good word of God. You've tasted the power of the world to come. And hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. Verse 4. You have a few names. There's a few of you in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And he that overcomes the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And when I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess the name before my Father and before his angels. Verse 6. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And all of this was going on here in the United States, up in the Northwest primarily, while this other was going on in China, when God was giving an opportunity for some to choose his way of life. God was calling at this time Herbert and Loma Armstrong, whom God used to begin to restore the truth that had been lost. And if you in the Sardis Church came and followed the truth being restored, some who have been called remain faithful to God's calling and the commission he has given. The Philadelphia Church, while others hopefully have only found temporary solace in doing whatever they chose to do, whether the Sardis Church or those who were called in the Philadelphia era. But the church began to grow and to flourish under Herbert Armstrong's leadership. But there developed serious problems in the church with his successor, the attempted destruction of the church ensued. Once again, the church was called upon to hold fast. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, Christ says, "Behold, I come quickly." Revelation 3:11. Hold that which you have. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. For him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. We have been abundantly blessed in this age and in this nation with having the complete Bible, so many translations, so many versions, give an understanding of most of what God intended for us to know. I think everything that he intends for us to know, but give an understanding of most everything, and given a commission to preach the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God. We need to be sure we are about our Father's business with all vigor and vitality.